Today on Real Radio.
Pray and watch what happens. Some people sit around, they're a critic of prayer. Nothing happens. God doesn't listen. Nothing's happening. It's because you're not praying. Get in the trench and pray. Watch what happens.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues his series simply called, Why Should I? Lessons that explore how Scripture answers questions about the lifestyle choices of the believer. Pastor Jack is in a mini-series called, Why Should I Pray? And today, we'll hear part three, where he emphasizes that prayer is our primary connection with our Maker. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, now continuing his mini-series that answers the question, Why should I pray?
When that prayer is offered up to God according to His Word, based upon the merit of Christ, God will answer prayer. You see, you and I are not always excited about the answer, though. You see older people, they ask God and then they leave it alone. Have you noticed that? They ask the Lord. You know, Paul asked three times, so they'll ask three times. And then they leave it alone. So, man, how come you're not stressing over it? I just learn over the years, leave it in the hands of the Lord. How can you do that? Because I learned over the years, leave it in the hands of the Lord. See, we want to manipulate and play and massage it until we think we're going to get God's ear to get the answer we want it to go. We want to stack the deck. I want a yes answer. Everybody wants a yes answer. We all want yes answers. Sometimes He says no. I can't stand, though, when He says, wait. Well, what's the answer? Wait. Is it yes or no? Wait. I don't like that one. You have to have patience, and this is the 21st century. We don't have that anymore. How are we connected to God by prayer? It's on the merits of Christ. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19 says, therefore, brethren, now we can have boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus Christ, by a new and living way, which He consecrated for us through the veil, that is His flesh. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith. Man, doesn't that sound like the door is wide open for us to come and talk to God now? Are you guys awake?
Yes.
The door is wide open. We're connected to God based upon the merits of Christ. By the way, Jesus made it very clear. Ushers, guard the doors. Jesus made it very clear that if you're going to pray to the Father, you need to do it through the Holy Spirit in His name.
Amen.
There is no such thing as a prayer without it being in the name of Jesus Christ, says the Bible. Think about it. Well, Pastor, I don't like you for saying that. I didn't say it. I'm only telling you what the Bible says. Jesus says nobody comes to the Father but through me. Well, that's pretty narrow. Yeah, it is. Deal with it. That's what He said. You can ignore everything He said until the third day when He rose from the dead. Now you got to sit up and listen. And He said, nobody goes to the Father but through me. He said, when you pray, pray to the Father through the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus Christ, and God will answer your prayer. Jesus said in John chapter 15, verse 7, if my word abides in you, you may ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. Pray the Bible. If you don't know how to pray, open the Bible and start reading it and then make that your prayer. That is an effective prayer life, I tell you. You'll get more done in 2 minutes of that kind of prayer than an hour in the other. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 10 says, by that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. And listen, every priest on earth stands ministering daily, offering repeatedly the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. Don't confess your sin to me. I didn't die on the cross. If you confess your sin to me or to some other pastor or to a priest, according to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 11, you're still in your sins. You have to confess them to God. And so the scripture says that even a priest who stands daily and ministers cannot take away anyone's sins. But this man, verse 12, who, after he had offered himself once as a sacrifice for sin, sat down at the right hand of God the Father, Jesus Christ. Man, no wonder why we should pray directly to him. What an exciting, liberating thing that is about how to pray based upon the merit of Christ. Not the merit of yourself or the merit of anyone else or the merit of the saints, but upon Christ. Jesus said in Matthew 6:9, in the famous, what we wrongly call the Lord's Prayer. Did you know that? We call Matthew 6:9 the Lord's Prayer. That's not true. And the Bible doesn't say it's the Lord's Prayer, and neither did Jesus say it was the Lord's Prayer. If you want to read the Lord's Prayer, it's in John 17. That's the Lord's Prayer. That's when the Lord Jesus Christ prayed to the Father for those who would follow him and believe in him. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 9, it is what we would say today, we should say today, the recommended pattern for a man's prayer. It's the structure for prayer. Jesus says, in this manner, or when you pray, think of a structure like this to formulate your prayers. Say, our Father, which is in heaven. Think about who you're praying to. He's in heaven. Holy be your name. And he goes through that wonderful instruction on the structure of prayer. He never intended us to walk around saying something like, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. That's not a prayer. That is not a prayer. He never said to pray that prayer. He said, when you pray, keep this in mind. When you talk to God, first consider, he's your Father in heaven and he's holy. So you let your prayer be formulated somewhat around that, then move into the next, and then the next step, and then the next step. It's important to know, nobody wants to hear a friend say the same thing over and over again every day. They won't be your friend. You'll see to it. It's like, I don't want to even talk to him. It's all he talks about. Here he comes, oh brother, watch, and you can like mouth them. And they're talking, it's like, You already know what they're gonna say. Can you imagine? If you come to God in a personal relationship with Christ, after he died on the cross to open up the new, bold, and living way to pray, and we just come as our Father, how to be that name, the kingdom, the will be done. Our Father, you think that warms the heart of God? You think he wants to listen to that? He doesn't even know what you're talking about, because you don't even know what you're talking about. See, man, you're getting all upset about this. Jesus said, do not repeat yourself in prayer like the unbelievers do. He said that. Don't repeat yourself in prayers like the unbelievers do. You don't want to talk to your friend in a repetitious manner, and God doesn't want to hear us in a repetitious manner. Every day, is it not true that every day is a brand new life for us every day? It's a whole new world every day for us. And God expects to hear from you in that vibrancy, in that life. Not just going through a couple of these and a couple of those, and I've done my time in prayer. No, not at all. Listen, this is so very important. Mark this down. What prayer connects us to is, listen, what are we connected to practically when we do pray? When we're connected to God, what is the practical effect of prayer? Jot three things down, if you would. Number one, when we pray, it opens us up to the will of God. You want God's will done in your life? Pray. Because until we pray, we're going to operate under our own will. When we pray, prayer brings us under the command of God's will. See, you and I were thinking, when we pray, we can get God to get involved in our deal. That's wrong. When I pray, that very supernatural spiritual event, in a practical way, is God positions me under his will and points me in a direction or in a pattern of thought or in a vision of ministry. We should go this way or maybe we should do that. God will confirm it to you. The will of God. How are we connected practically? To the will of God. Number two, to the heart of God. This is fun. When you're praying and you have a life of prayer and you're nurturing it now, you've begun a life of prayer, it's growing. Check your own heart and see if this is not true. When we pray, we get connected to the heart of God. How do we know that? The first thing that we began to notice when this was happening in our spiritual life was like this. And every service I've done this so far, people are going, yeah, I remember, or that's happening now. And it's this. When we begin to pray, we're reading God's word, we get up and we're living our day, we'll have a thought like this. Are you ready? We'll have a thought like this. Pray for Mike. And you'll know who Mike is. It'd be, you know, Mike whoever. Oh, that's weird. I wasn't even thinking about praying. And I had this thought, pray for Mike? Well, that's odd. You might even look at your watch. Huh. It's just around the lunch hour. Okay. God, be with Mike. Whatever's going on, God, if that thought's from you, that's kind of weird. I don't usually think about Mike, but God, protect him. Maybe he's in trouble. Lord, watch over him. Some of you are nodding your head. Don't be surprised if later that week you hear that either Mike was in an accident or Mike was not in an accident. And you say, hey, Mike, it's funny. Earlier this week, I was praying for you. Really? I was in an accident. What day? Monday. Really? That's the day I was praying for you. What time? 12:30. Or Mike might say, I don't know. Nothing happened except Monday. You know what? I was supposed to go do this thing. But anyway, my boss told me I didn't have to go. Funny thing happened, though. The guy that went, he got in a really bad accident. He's hurt really bad. Now, Mike will just go, oh, well. You will go, God used my prayer to intercede for my brother like that. It's awesome to do. Pray and watch what happens. Some people sit around, they're a critic of prayer. Nothing happens. God doesn't listen. Nothing's happening. It's because you're not praying. Get in the trench and pray. Watch what happens. Things move. God begins to act practically in a wonderful way. Listen, when are we connected to God? When are we connected in prayer to God? How does that happen? Well, certainly when we pray. When we pray, it's a spiritual act. Now, because my mind is not all that deep, I like documentaries, I like the news, and I love cartoons. And when I think about this one, about when are we connected to God, you ever notice like when Goofy or Donald Duck or whoever's going to get an x-ray, he steps in front of that x-ray screen, and you can see his head, but you see this little skeleton of the duck, and there's like a key inside his belly, and you can see it. And the doctor goes, oh, we have to operate, you know? You can see it. When I thought about this in the life of the prayer of the believer, I love the picture that my little knucklehead thought up. Because when I pray, there's a connection between earth and heaven, so to speak, that when I pray, God is listening. There is that connect. And it happens if I could see in that x-ray world or in that spiritual realm, there's something that you and I cannot see in the flesh, but wham, instantly there's a connection with God. As we pray, no matter where we are in the world, we can pray. There's a connect to heaven. And that gives me a lot of comfort. That gives me a lot of peace. When are we connected to Him? Certainly when we pray. Certainly when we pray in faith. And certainly when we pray what the Bible says in the Spirit. To pray in the Spirit. Now, it depends on your background. You'll hear all kinds of commentators wrestle with the scriptures that talk about praying in the Spirit. Some people go overboard in talking and teaching about it, and some people won't mention it at all. Two things. Number one, we are commanded to pray in the Spirit. The word appears with a lowercase s and with a capital S. Whenever your Bible has the capital S, it is in the Greek or in the Hebrew a personal pronoun referring to the Holy Spirit of God. When it's a lowercase s, it's referring to our spirit. Our spirit? Yeah, that's the part of you that got born again. Your spirit. You were made alive spiritually. Are you with me? When we pray in the Spirit, A, we can pray in accordance with the will of God, according to the Bible, and we can pray in faith, and that is certainly praying in the Spirit. But there's something more. And I'm going to say something. It's been controversial every service, and I don't know why. Honestly, read your Bible. But I understand in Calvary Chapel, which is a fun church to pastor, because we got a whole bunch of Pentecostals, we got a whole bunch of Baptists, we got a whole bunch of Lutherans, we got a whole bunch of Methodists, it's just a whole bunch of all kinds of stuff. And that's fun. But I want you to forget about your denominational upbringing and just let the Bible speak for what it says. It says in Romans chapter 8, verse 26, "Likewise, the Holy Spirit also helps our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought to. But the Holy Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be articulated," or our utterances which have no articulation in human language. Who speaks like that? Well, the Holy Spirit who dwells within us will prompt us when we pray like this. And there's this prayer that can take place in the life of the believer where the Holy Spirit is interceding. We don't understand. And you can study that until the cows come home and they go back out again. And people have done it. They've written books. There's libraries full about, what does that mean? It means exactly what it says. In other places in the Bible says that Jesus is praying for us. Did you know that? You say, why would that? Why does the Bible say that? It says it, that Jesus is praying to the Father right now. He's interceding for us as our high priest. Praise the Lord, huh? You think his prayers get answered? Oh, yeah. And then the Bible says the Holy Spirit intercedes for us. Can't miss. Where does the Holy Spirit live? Of course, he's omnipresent. But does he not live inside us who are believers? Well, in 1 Corinthians 14, please jot this down. You're going to get in line and ask me afterwards. And I already gave it to you. It's 1 Corinthians 14. Read 1 Corinthians 14 about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Predominantly, it's about tongues and interpretation of tongues. But in verse 14, Paul makes a clear distinction. Now listen carefully. There's the list of the gift of the Holy Spirit in the way of tongues and in the interpretation of tongues. Those are gifts of the Holy Spirit. Given to some people, not all. Not everybody speaks in tongues. The Bible says so. Some people do. Some don't. I don't. Some do. Some have the gift of prophecy. Some don't. Some have the gift of healing. Others don't. I don't. I mean, I don't. I don't think I do. I mean, I've prayed for people that have been healed, but I don't go around just raising people from the hospital beds. I don't know. But I know what some of my gifts are, and I certainly know what the gifts that I don't have are. Those are gifts. And in 1 Corinthians 14, the Bible makes it very clear that when you guys come together for a time of spiritual gathering, and if someone speaks in a tongue, let that man then keep quiet, because there has to be an interpretation based upon the gift of interpretation. And then someone interprets in a public setting. There is no private use, listen, of the gift of tongues alone. It's to be used publicly with the interpretation of that tongue. By the way, it's not a translation, it's an interpretation. Big difference. It's publicly that the body might be built up. And it will only and always be a word of worship and praise to the Lord. You will never hear, and I know you've been taught differently, but show me in the Bible. You have been taught, oh, this guy gave a message in tongues. Impossible from the Bible. Impossible. Not from God. When God wants to give a message, he speaks it clearly through either preaching or the gift of prophecy. That is the prophetic utterance or the going forth of the word of God. For example, Billy Graham is an excellent prophet in the definition of the word, one who proclaims or a heralder of the word. Well, in 1 Corinthians 14, 14, it says, "For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays." But read the context. He's talking about private life, private, alone with God. Just Paul in his prayer closet with God. Nobody's around. And Paul will go on to tell you, I do not understand what I'm praying when I pray in that language. But God knows. He says, in public, I'd rather speak 5 words in Greek or Hebrew or English that you understand. But in private, he'll pray that way, in the Spirit. And that is not a gift. To pray in the Spirit is available to every Christian all around the world. You just need to go and pray with the Lord and let your prayer life experience that. Very interesting. I can see the crook in your eyebrow going, wow, what is that? Read Romans 8 and 1 Corinthians 14 very carefully. Okay, enough of that. We see this concerning how we're connected to God in prayer is that where does the connection take place? And that is both in heaven and on earth at the same time. When we pray, we are immediately connected to God in heaven. There's a wonderful connection there. When you see a lightning bolt, people, we're supposed to have those tomorrow, by the way. Did you know that? That'd be kind of nice. They're kind of beautiful and awesome. You ever seen a lightning bolt? Those of you who are from the Great Plains or whatever, or maybe down Texas or Florida way, Louisiana, great lightning bolts in the sky. How does the lightning bolt, where do you see it come from and go to? You see it go from the cloud to the ground, right? Did you know that's not exactly the truth? That's only half the truth. The bolt that comes out of the cloud and heads toward the ground at most will go at times 3/4 of the way down. Rarely will it ever strike the earth. You say, wait a minute, I've seen lightning strikes. No, what you saw was the other half of the lightning bolt that ascends from the earth up into the cloud. Did you know that? That when a lightning strike takes place, there is most often an electrical charge that's released both from the cloud and from the earth, and they often meet in the atmosphere. The bottom one travels faster than the top one, and your eye doesn't see it. Now, if you use high-speed photography, you can capture it. It's extremely rare, but it's happened when a lightning bolt has exited the earth into a cloud. They have often said that that is actually St. Elmo's fire, trying to define it. It's very rare. But most often, the lightning bolt will come out of the cloud and either go to cloud or cloud nearly to the ground, and then there's a release and a spark will go up from the earth. But it looks like to us, the lightning bolt came out of the sky because our eyes can't catch it. What's my point? There's something happening in heaven and there's something happening on the earth. When the Christian prays, there's a connection. That Christian bows, his heart begins to pray, and wham, there's a connection from heaven to earth, earth to heaven. And it's a tremendous thing. I'd said before that when you pray with somebody, you can know somebody for a long time, but you'll know them the most when you pray with them. The more you pray with them, the better you know them. And I don't know if this morning maybe you're dating somebody or you're engaged. I wouldn't date anybody, especially, first thing, I'm married, so I'm not going to date anybody. But if you're single or you're engaged, I tell you what, we really get along. We have the most fun times. Well, that's nice. I'm really glad for that. That should come, though, at least second to praying together. Praying together. Oh, he won't pray. He won't pray, then she won't marry. Think about it. I'm going to give him my life. We're going to say I do. We're going to spend the rest of our life together. We're going to do this for the God, and we're going to enjoy this. Are you praying together? No.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called Why Should I Pray? It's actually a mini-series and part of Pastor Jack's collection of lessons simply called Why Should I? Which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, have you seen our Monday night television program called Real Life with Jack Hibbs? We also have an app for your smartphone or your tablet that goes by the same name, Real Life with Jack Hibbs. Just go to your app store and download it for free. Lots of features related to Real Radio right there at your fingertips, like Journey, another one of our TV programs that airs on his channel. Also, Words to the Wise, Pastor Jack's devotional that I truly love and that you can get in your email box. Our Wednesday Night Study, which also airs on hischannel.com live. Our Real Radio podcasts. And, of course, Real Life with Jack Hibbs, our Monday night TV program that deals with just that, real life issues through the lens of Scripture. That and a whole lot more with the Real Life with Jack Hibbs app for your smartphone. Just go to your app store for Real Life with Jack Hibbs, the new free app for your tablet or smartphone. And of course, to learn more, you can always visit realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. Our telephone number, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.